This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome, and once again, thanks so much for tuning in. Today's broadcast is going to be extra special because I am joined by the creative director of a wonderful book, a publication titled Changed, Once Gay Stories, and also author of his book, title of which is The Journey Out, How I Followed Jesus Away from Gay. My special guest once again is Ken Williams. Ken, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Philip. It's great to be with you today.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here once again. Why don't we start with your sharing a little bit about the wonderful publication called Changed, Once Gay Stories. What is so special, do you believe, about this remarkable publication?
Well, thanks. I would say, first and foremost, it's just stories of what Jesus has done in people's lives. You know, things that supposedly don't happen to people are characterized in this book. And it's probably about a little over 50 stories. And these people are just deeply in love with Jesus, and they have found a completely different life by following him. And so those stories are just not the stories you hear every day. So,
am I correct that the stories, really the primary focus, is men and women are sharing their journey out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction through a personal, deep, genuine, intimate, personal relationship with Christ Jesus, correct?
Yes, that's it.
Also, you are greatly involved, and you're one of the co-founders of the Changed Movement. And I was checking out the website again just recently, and I'd like to share with those listening to the broadcast today a segment of what is offered on the website. Quoting, "On the Changed Movement website, there is more provocative testimony, no more provocative testimony than that of men and women who have chosen identity in Christ above that of the LGBTQ+. We are changed, and we are growing in number every day. Your personal experience, can you continue to see and meet men and women who are saying no to gay and yes to Jesus?"
Yes, we are seeing that happen just more and more all over the place. I think culture is very confused about identity today. I think that families have been broken down in so many different ways. It's sad, and a lot of times there's not a mom and dad in each home. And just with social media and everything that is available today on your phone, it's for all of the connection and technology, it's very difficult for people to really be centered and understand who they are today. And so, yeah, we are finding more and more people just from all around the world that are saying, "I tried finding myself via my sexual desires, but that wasn't deep enough," or it didn't lead to peace. It didn't lead to thriving. And so they were looking for something different. And somewhere along the way, they ran into Jesus in a powerful way and have taken a completely different route.
For all of our listeners, once again, the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction for myself and for Ken is not just professional. It is indeed personal. You're listening to two guys through this broadcast that once were ensnared and bound by, if not derailed by, the brokenness of same-sex attraction, that have moved on now and have new lives in Christ. And we came to a place of understanding that our true identity, as Ken has been sharing, is not in our sexuality. As Christians, our true identity is in Christ. Ken, would you agree?
Yes, it sounds so simple. Someone could just hear you say that and not really realize the power of it. But yeah, what we're talking about is either getting our identity by our arousals, or you might even say temptations, versus understanding who God says specifically that each of us are.
Yes.
And the difference, as you know, Philip, is astronomical to those of us who are going on that journey.
Yes. And heaven knows today, in the scheme of things around the world, leave out the spiritual, and I guarantee you, sexuality will do its utmost to sit in the driver's seat of life. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Our sexuality is a big, potent part of who we are. Our sexuality really is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines. And therein lies the challenge for a lot of men and women today. They just simply don't want to do life God's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there have been enticements, right, in the world, and it's easy to get derailed into try to gratifying myself in some way that seems most attainable. It just doesn't work for the long term.
Are you still continuing to find that the publication Change Once Gay Stories is still well received around the world today?
It is, yeah, and it's been used in all kinds of different ways. I mean, from coffee table book to encouragement to someone that is wanting to journey closer to God and away from LGBT, as well as like legislative settings, things like that, where bills and laws are being determined and you know, one side is pushing for LGBT ideology throughout school systems and through law, and the other side is saying, well, wait a minute, is that the only road for people that have these feelings? And so, yeah, we find it used in many different ways.
And how would a person obtain a copy of the book?
Yeah, anybody can go to changethemovement.com and go to our store there. And also, all of the stories that are in the book are just posted right there on the website as well.
Awesome. Okay. Let's move on to your book, The Journey Out, How I Followed Jesus Away from Gay. I'm curious, what was your hope, your goal in writing the book?
Yeah, it's real simple, Philip. I wanted to write the book that I felt like I needed that I didn't have when I was 17 and suicidal. And you know, when that happened for me and I found myself in the Christian bookstore, that was my last-ditch effort to see if I could find any reason not to end my life. You know, it was going into the Christian bookstore with a disguise on, basically, and sneakily seeing if I could find any book that gave me hope to leave my same-sex attraction and that whole turmoil over my sexual identity. And there, I couldn't find a single resource that gave me hope. And so many years later, I wrote that book.
So your hope and your goal for writing the book was to communicate, yes, change is possible, but also to detail your own personal journey of how that came about in your life, correct?
Yes, and really, what the Lord showed me, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, was how was the basically the discipleship model that God used in my life. I was too close to it, you know, through my journey, to really see what God had led me through, but through some reflection and some prayer, I felt like, you know, God showed me, hey, there are these 6 main areas that I addressed with you or that I led you to follow me in, and so then realized, oh, gosh, that's God's discipleship model for this, and so not only do I share my story and the story of 14 others in the book, but I also walk people through the discipleship process that God led me through.
You know, a question I'm often asked when I'm sharing and speaking in churches and conferences, probably more than any other, is what was it that ultimately transpired in your life that caused you to say, okay, this gay thing isn't working, there's got to be something better. And I share that there was one particular aspect of my life, which was the undeniable change in my family. There were other factors as well, but for you, what was it? Was there anything in particular that said, okay, done with this, I got to move on?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were multiple things culminating, but, you know, heading toward a crash. But I think when I found myself sexually attracted to my youth pastor, who was the most spiritual person that I knew. He was the most dedicated to Jesus, you know, sharing his faith everywhere he went, a total evangelist. I wanted to be just like him and to follow God and be as close to God as he was, and yet now I'm sexually attracted to him. And so, I mean, I would drive out to his apartment in the, you know, at midnight and just park my car outside of his apartment to be closer to him. And he was a newlywed, and of course, he wasn't ever going to have any kind of a relationship with me like that. But I was that desperate for connection, you know, for connection to masculinity, that I was stalking him. And of course, and I realized this can never work. Like, what am I expecting? He's going to leave his wife for me? Like, I don't want that. And so there was no way to find fulfillment. And so I just crashed eventually and went into my basement one night and wrote out 9 pages of my hate, vulgarity, pain, my, you know, characterizing my struggle, and then handed it to my youth pastor the next day and said, you know, what do I do? And that was the beginning of, you know, that was the end of my rope for me and the beginning of my getting help.
Sounds very much that you experienced, much like I did as well, and I know many other men. We were starved. We were looking for male validation, acceptance, and approval. Yes. And that is a huge factor I have found in the abundance of men's lives in particular. And heaven knows, when we each have a deep-rooted need, void, or deficit in our lives, we're going to go look into something or someone to get that need met, aren't we not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it everywhere today, right? It's the age-old problem, and people are trying to meet their own needs instead of trusting God. And yes, absolutely.
Well, let's talk more specifically about change. I think you and I have experienced, we know that too often today, the whole subject matter of change regarding homosexuality often does not receive a whole lot of good press. Why do you think that is?
that's for sure. You know, I think there are probably several reasons. You and I know, I mean, the depths of pain associated with LGBTQ, it's immense. And for so many, it feels like that is who you are. You know, I mean, you and I probably both felt that way, Philip, right? It's like, this is who I am. I am gay. And so when anyone comes along and suggest that a change could be possible, it pulls out, you know, it rips out the rug kind of from the notion that this is who someone is and it can't be changed. You know, if someone can change, then does that mean that everyone can change? And I get the tension there. You know, that's a hard thing to have to grapple with. But my goodness, the stats, I mean, it's tragic. You and I both know, you know, from personal experience, Philip, but even if you're looking at medical reports of emotional health metrics for people that for men that have sex with men, for example, I mean, everything from drug use to nicotine use to interpersonal, domestic, you know, violence and obsessive compulsive disorder and all these different emotional maladies just are dramatically, numerous times over, increased for that population. And so, you know, for someone like me, it's like that I was blessed to find a more peaceful way forward. I can't help but offer that to others.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, I think we have to acknowledge also, in terms of why doesn't change regarding homosexuality, why does it often not receive a lot of good press? I mean, the pro-gay camp has done their job well. They have been tenacious, they've been dedicated, and heaven knows they've got a ton of money. And they have, in many respects, been like a locomotive just running wild over this whole subject matter. So the influence of the pro-gay camp, unfortunately, has been considerable. Do you agree?
It's that and more, absolutely. Well-funded by mega billionaires. They were, the activists were really wise, even starting back in the 70s, to attack the American Psychological Association and Psychiatric Association. And so there's been so much activist pressure on those organizations now for decades that you can see just over time they caved and they stopped even looking for ways to help this people group and instead just affirming their temptations, basically.
Yes.
And so, you know, what's awful now is you have the APA's being cited today, even in legislative hearings that are determining what the laws of the land will be. And, you know, when in fact they're the ones who abandoned even trying to help this people group. So, there's been a very, you know, the book After the Ball was written in late 80s, early 90s, I don't remember. And it was a roadmap for how to change society's opinion using marketing and psychology, you know, and so the activists have worked their plan very successfully.
Yes. You know what, Ken, I'll share this with you. My last two conversations with pro-gay activists, if you will, within the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, dialoguing on this subject matter, of course, we don't always agree, but at some point in the last two conversations, I said, you know, just share with me a scripture. I'm only asking for one, where God says he approves of homosexual practice. And each time in these conversations, two different conversations, the activist said within the APA, well, there aren't any, and everybody knows that. I'm going, hello, hello.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there isn't that the pivotal mark to all of this. I mean, God has given us free will choice. We get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
The twist is, in regard to homosexual practice, when individuals start saying that God's okay with it and homosexuality has a blessing to Christianity, now we have a problem. Because now we are dismissing the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture, and that's when I'm like a bull coming on a shoot five. Hold it, you're crossing the line.
Yeah, that's right. And let's not forget that God is creator of everything. And the one best qualified to write the owner's manual is the creator of something.
Yes.
And so, I mean, the Bible is God's owner manual, you know, that he's giving to us so that we understand what is going to be beneficial to ourselves and others. And, you know, as you know, Philip, like, there are reasons why people have the sexual feelings that they do. There are wounds. There are places where we've been neglected or where we've been rejected, or where we've been separated from the pack of others like us. And those places, instead of just being affirmed as, oh, this is who you are, so much peace and fulfillment comes to people who sit with a prayer partner and with the Lord and start to ask God questions about, well, why do I feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
And when did this first start happening? And to hear the Lord start to give direction and give answers and shed the light of the truth on those pain points so that there can be healing and I can move forward and not deal with those issues that are underlying the attractions any longer.
Yes. I wonder if you've experienced the same as I have, Ken, in terms of men and women that are seeking, they're genuinely seeking a resolvement of their issue of same-sex attraction. But they are often, based on my personal experience, most of the men and women, they are seeking, if not demanding, a quick fix. They want their deliverance microwaved. Have you experienced the same?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I went through 13, I think it was 13 years from the time I was started realizing, whoa, I'm not like the other boys and I don't want to be this way, until I started experiencing any real changes in my understanding of my sexuality or in my feelings. It was 13 unfruitful years. And all of that time, I was looking for a quick fix. I was wanting God to just, you know, zap me and then I'd be different. But it was after I finally stopped trying to change my sexual desires and instead said, Jesus, can I know you? I want to know you. Would you just do what you want to do in my life? I'm going to follow you regardless. That then he started addressing my issues. But yeah, the microwave thing doesn't work. This is a complex issue for people. This is a relational breakdown. Homosexuality is an intimacy deficit. And so you don't fix that. I mean, God can touch anybody anytime, and I've had that happen. But, like, all of my relationships have to be touched as well. You know, I have to learn social skills. I have to forgive people. I have to be willing to let people I've been scared of into my life. I have to start to give men a fair chance. There's all these things that I have to do, and I think that's often why it's not just a microwave moment.
Yes, yes. It's a process. I have found more than not. When we start talking about process, we're talking about an element of time. How many times have I sat across from a young man, a young lady struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction and have the privilege of sharing with him from God's word, not based upon what Philip Lee says, but according to God, that yes, change is possible. That's what God says. And I guarantee you the very next question normally out of their mouth is, how long is this going to take? And that ultimately, ultimately, that is a sovereign work of God, but it's our being in partnership with him, working through the process. And it, again, it points to an element of time. So let me ask you, Ken, how should we define change for the same-sex attracted? I mean, how is that defined? And let me take it a step further. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be unique to each person. But I, like you're saying, Philip, the nature of the gospel is change. You know, when we start to follow Jesus, we are becoming more like him. Like, we're made in his image, but sin has separated us and pulled us off of really who we're supposed to be. But the more we start to stare at and identify with Jesus, he changes us from the inside out. And so that looks different for each person. Like, I have people who have been journeying with the Lord for 10 years, and it hasn't, they've had all kinds of changes in their life. Their pride went away. They've forgiven all the people that have hurt them. And so, you know, they're able to be peaceful with people, and they're settled in life and all that. But just now are they starting to experience any shift in their sexual feelings.
Yes.
And they have other people that happened much earlier too, that they really, you know, it wasn't as long of a process. And I have people that, you know, that got married like myself and have children. And then there are people who felt called to be celibate, but they have peace now. Like, they don't get their sense of identity based on their sexual arousals, or they don't object. This is a common one, you know, Philip, is that they don't objectify people anymore.
Yes.
You know, so maybe they might experience some same-sex attraction here and there, but it doesn't dominate them like it did, or they don't objectify people. They're not undressing people with their eyes like they did habitually. All of those things are changes that I see.
Yes. And, you know, in terms of the authority of Scripture, I mean, any individual reading God's word, at some point they're going to come to a place, hopefully, of understanding that nowhere does God say, you know, just come to me and just remain the same as you are. No change is required. Just go about life as you were. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. How about you?
No, Scripture is very clear over and over that, you know, I mean, Romans 5 and Romans 6 is like a big part of what transformed my life, because I realized that God was saying that change happens. Like you said, you know, Romans 6 talks about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You know, it's not always easy, and it doesn't always happen the first time, but when we follow Jesus and we do what verse 11 of that chapter says, we reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. And I think the more that we become aware of how big Jesus' sacrifice was for us and the change that offers, the more we open ourselves up for him to change us.
Yes. And I would submit, when a person was traveling one particular direction in life, and now they are traveling a new and completely different course in life, is that not change?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
I mean, heaven knows, when I surrendered my life to Christ in October of 1985 after living 17 years as a gay-identified man, and all that gay seemingly promised and never delivered, I mean, when I surrendered to Christ and I'm in church for the first time in my life, I was one of the fortunate individuals. I found myself in a church being loved through a process. Thank God for godly pastors and a congregation that I would not be here today without them. But, I mean, there was a lot of things that the Lord did in my life that was instantaneous, almost overnight. There were other aspects of my life that required a season of change and a lot of work and dying to self, which often was not pretty, but necessary. But, I mean, when I surrendered, I took off in a new direction in life entirely, and I think that's really what's required. And it really is a journey of faith, isn't it?
It is, and but it's a beautiful journey. Is it challenging sometimes? And does it, you know? I mean, well, it's, I mean, it's like a child, right? I mean, I have little children, and it's like they don't always want to do the beneficial thing. They want to have the ice cream, you know. But it doesn't make you healthy. And so, you know, we learn as we grow that sometimes doing the hard thing is necessary because it's what's going to be the healthiest for us. And God leads us that direction.
Yes. Ken, we are almost out of time, unfortunately, and I don't want to close the broadcast without our listeners not knowing. How does one contact you or Changed? How do they contact you?
Yeah, they can go to changedmovement.com, and there is a button there to contact us. And, yeah, we would love to hear from you. They can also follow us on Facebook. And also on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, hopefully those tuning into the broadcast today, you have heard from two guys that are lifting high the name of Jesus, sharing that, yes, change is possible, not, again, because Philip or Ken says so, but because God, the author of our faith, he says change is possible. That remains the truth. Ken, how about closing us in prayer today?
Absolutely. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are the best father anybody has ever had, and that your plans for us are good, that your heart is that every person who's experiencing LGBTQ would feel the love and the value that you have for them, that their identity is sure, and that they are either a man or a woman solidly, and that they can have a fulfilling life by following you. I pray that you would pick them up, wrap them in your arms individually, and let your love be felt. And I pray that you would just encourage every person listening that there is always hope and that you care.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And once again, for all those tuning in today, thanks so much. I hope you'll join me again next time, next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries, with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.